going to be talking about nervous farting, and does it actually happen? Do people actually, I've heard the term nervous farting, but I've never farted because I was nervous. I've been nervous because I farted. I think people like who use the term nervous farting might be like confusing like cause and effect. That's my hypothesis here. So, yeah. I guess we'll start by Googling nervous farting. Nervous faring, nervous fearing, nervous darting, nervous dating, nervous daring. Swipe really doesn't want me to say farting. Alright, I'm adding farting, because I'm going to be typing it a lot. I'm adding farting to my swipe dictionary. Does anyone else get gassy when nervous? Social anxiety forum. Oh my god. Socialanxietysupport.com. They would know about the symptoms of nervousness. Those would be the people to ask. No, I'm not going to give them my device's location. It stinks, no pun intended. I can see why this guy is nervous. He intended this pun. I show it in weird ways. Some sweat or bite their fingernails. Some tremble and stutter. I fart, it's horrible. Whenever my anxiety kicks in, this is going to be a really depressing train hot dog. I'm just going to be reading about people's horrible stories about their horrible anxiety symptoms. Do you know how hard it is to find a girl that has a fetish for farting? I don't know that. Or to be, yeah, I mean, because when you've got anxiety, the only way you could ever be in a relationship is to find someone who has a fetish for anxious people. Oh man, anxiety gets me rock hard. Or to go on a job interview and be asked to come. I mean, of course, like, half the people who have a fetish for anxiety have it for their own anxiety. This makes dating impossible. Or to go on a job interview and be asked to leave and not come back because of chronic gas. I wish I could just lock myself in a room and never leave. I'm going to go. Jesus Christ, this guy is just, he's really got it bad. That was Lonely Guy from Ellipsis. He won't tell us where he's from because he's too nervous. 12 Keys writes, lol, yeah, I get IBS when I'm really anxious. It really is terrible. On Wednesdays, I spend a lot of time on, why am I reading this? Why am I doing this topic? Let's do a different topic. Anyway, the answer is yes, people fart when they're nervous. Ugh. Alright, new topic. New topic. What is sorghum used for? So sorghum, if you don't know, is the fifth most important cereal crop in the world. That's a quote from the U.S. Grains Council. Oh man, I went to the sorghum page on the U.S. Grain Council and it says, do you need some help? We're sorry, but the page you're looking for does not exist or has moved. Where would you like to go? So, apparently, maybe this isn't the fifth most important cereal crop anymore. Maybe it used to be. Sorghum is a genus of plants in the grass family. Most species are native to Australia, with some extended to Africa, Asia, Mesoamerica, and certain islands in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. One species is grown for grain, while many others are used as fodder plants, either intentionally cultivated or allowed to grow naturally in pasture lands. The plants are cultivated in warm climates worldwide and naturalized in many places. Sorghum is in the subfamily something and the tribe something, the tribe of big blue stem and sugar cane. One species, sorghum bicolor, native to Africa with many cultivated forms now, is an important crop worldwide, used for food as grain and in sorghum syrup or sorghum molasses, animal fodder, the production of alcoholic beverages, and biofuels. Most varieties are drought and heat tolerant and are especially important in arid regions where the grain is one of the staples for poor and rural people. These varieties form important components of pastures in many tropical regions. Sorghum bicolor is an important food crop in Africa, Central America, and South Asia, and is the fifth most important cereal crop grown in the world. Some species of sorghum can contain levels of hydrogen cyanide, ordinine, and nitrates lethal to grazing animals in the early stages of the plant's growth. When stressed by drought or heat, plants can also contain toxic levels of cyanide and or nitrates at later stages of growth. Yeah, that sounds really safe. That's why it's not the fourth most important cereal crop in the world. Oh man. List of antioxidants in food. Small red bean. Total antioxidant capacity per serving size, 13,127. Doesn't say what the units are there. Wild blueberries, red kidney beans, pinto beans are up there. Blueberry, regular blueberry, gets down to 9,000 antioxidant capacity per serving size. I don't see anything about sorghum here, so I don't know why they were listing it, why they were linked to the sea also. Yeah. Gala apples are like 4,000. That's not so bad. Pinto beans apparently are the best. Wait, are pinto beans, are they the ones used in hummus? I'm gonna ask Google. No, I'm thinking of chickpeas. Chickpeas are used in hummus. Pinto beans are used in refried beans. Oh man, black beans have like a third of the antioxidants of pinto beans. Now I know which one is way better for you. I just figured the black beans were better because they were black. Like Wesley Snipes. Corn has competition as ethanol's leading grain. In terms of ethanol production, corn has some competition this winter. Grain sorghum. The grain, also known as Milo, produces the same amount of ethanol per bushel, but uses one-third less water in the process of creating the fuel. It's also used as feed, like corn. It looks like we're going to use a bit less corn for ethanol production than we had anticipated a few months ago, said Scott Irwin, agricultural chair at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Corn is losing some market share to sorghum in terms of feedstock. What's with all the sorghum? When China blocked U.S. corn trade and upped its demand for sorghum a couple years ago, Paul Bertholz, Vice President of Production and Sustainability for the National Corn Growers Association, noticed a tremendous spike in U.S. sorghum production. At this point, China isn't begging for U.S. sorghum, which has left a lot of affordable grain for use stateside. To be specific, sorghum exports are projected to be 105 million bushels lower than last year, according to the WASDE report. Some ethanol plants are set up to run on sorghum, like plants in southwest Kansas, so those plants may be overwhelmed with the amount of grain offered for their use. The volume of ethanol production is expected to go up this year versus last year on a calendar basis. Said Jared Kitt, Director of Market Information for the Lynn Group. The problem is that the percentage of Milo used ethanol is going to be ratcheted up a notch this year because it's more plentiful than a year ago. Unfortunately, said Bertels, there's a lot of porn in the world. That is so sad. The volume of porn in the world. Sweet sorghum. That's a separate article on Wikipedia. Sweet sorghum is any of the many varieties of sorghum grass whose stalks have a high sugar content. Well, that makes sense. That's actually named very, very, very aptly. Sweet sorghum thrives better under drier and warmer conditions than for many of their crops, and is grown primarily for forage, silage, and syrup production. Is silage putting it in a silo? No, silage is fermented high moisture stored fodder which can be fed to ruminants. Sweet sorghum syrup is sometimes called molasses or sorghum molasses in some regions of the U.S., but the term molasses more properly refers to a different sweet syrup made as a byproduct of sugar cane or sugar beet sugar extraction. Sweet sorghum has been widely cultivated in the U.S. since the 1850s for use in sweeteners, primarily in the form of sorghum syrup. By the early 1900s, the U.S. produced 20 million U.S. gallons of sweet sorghum syrup annually, making syrup from sorghum, as from sugarcane, is heavily labor-intensive. Following World War II, with the declining availability of farm labor, sorghum syrup production fell drastically. Currently, less than 1 million U.S. gallons are produced annually in the U.S. In India, it was introduced in the early 1970s by Nimkar Agricultural Research Institute. Presently, it is grown on large areas as a fodder crop. Most sorghum grown for syrup production is grown in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Asks, what is sorghum and why is the South so obsessed with it? Unless you were raised in the South, sorghum is an ingredient you've encountered often, if at all. A couple of generations ago, sorghum was a staple sweetener in the South. It was cheap, plentiful, and often went by the name of sorghum molasses. The thick golden syrup was used in place of pricier sweeteners, and those that have grown up with it are partial, with an almost nostalgic attachment to the flavor. Edward Lee, Southern chef and cookbook author, said to the AP that the sweetener has a unique flavor, and it adds a lot of depth to what you're cooking, more so than honey. Sean Brock, the James Beard Award-winning chef, says his new cookbook Heritage that the flavors of sorghum remind him of home, where every fall the community would get together to harvest the tall plant and boil down the sorghum syrup. Sorghum is a cereal grain that grows tall like corn, and it is used for more than just sweetening. First and foremost, in the United States, sorghum is used as livestock feed and turned into ethanol. It's a popular crop to grow within the drier regions of the states because it is drought-resistant. This quality has also made it a popular crop in Africa, where it has been growing for 4,000 years. Actually, sorghum is thought to have been introduced into America from Africa, making its way over on slave ships. America has found yet another use for this grain in the gluten-free market. Sorghum might be popular as a syrup, but it can be used as grain or ground into flour. It is in fact an ancient whole grain full of nutritional benefits. Ground into flour, sorghum can be used as a substitute for wheat flour, though it has no gluten, so it requires a binding agent with some recipes like xanthan gum or cornstarch. And that's not all. Sorghum can be popped like popcorn or cooked into a risotto, and it can be made into a lunch bowl, too. How have we been surviving without this versatile grain for all these years? Just look at a couple of different things you can do with this grain. Here are some recipes. Garlic green beans with sorghum salad. Sorghum buttermilk pancakes with whipped coconut cream. Gingerbread beer bundt cake with chocolate glaze. Dried grapes with sorghum and bourbon strawberries. Nettle sorghum and bourbon cocktail. Cherry tomato, arugula, and sorghum salad. Wow. Wait, so what's a lunch bowl? New York Times writes, new ways to use ancient grains. Ancient in quotes. Like, they're not actually that old, probably. Like, I bet they were harvested, like, in the past month. Sorghum bowl with black beans, amaranth, and avocado are recipes for health. Ancient grain seems to be the new buzz phrase in the world of whole foods. Or maybe I've been missing something for a long time. The words to describe grain varieties that have been eaten as staples for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Some of these have fed people in the far-flung parts of the world for a very long time, but have been of little interest as a food on the American market. Grains like sorghum have been grown here, but fed primarily to animals, whereas sorghum has been a staple for centuries in Africa and India. This week I experimented with some of these grains, including some ancient strains of wheat, farro, spelt, and kamut. Some authorities insist that spelt and farro are the same thing, others dispute this. I think they are interchangeable when cooking, whether or not they are the same grain botanically. These ancient varieties of wheat have fewer chromosomes and less gluten than the modern wheat that is the source of our flour in the United States. People with full-blown celiac disease cannot tolerate even a little bit of gluten. But some people with mild gluten intolerance do better with these grains. Well, barley, which also contains gluten, and another ancient grain. The ancient varieties of wheat have a good nutritional profile, better than that of modern wheat. Kamut, for example, is higher in protein than many other whole grains. It is also a good source of... All right, why don't we, just go right to the source. Sorghum. Yahoo Answers. Let's see what Yahoo Answers has to say about sorghum. What is sorghum? Where can I obtain sorghum in New Zealand? How much water is needed for sorghum? Okay. Sure. Where can I obtain sorghum in New Zealand? Yahoo Answers. I'm currently in Auckland location, just wondering if anyone know where I would be able to obtain sorghum from. Thanks in advance. No author. Mara writes, do you mean the grain or the syrup? And that's awarded the best answer trophy. So that's a lovely exchange on Yahoo Answers. Very informative for all parties involved. How much water is needed for sorghum? How much irrigation is needed for sorghum to grow? Best answer. I cannot give you an exact amount, but most pieces of sorghum are cultivated in very arid regions of the world and are bred to be drought-resistant, so I would imagine they don't need a lot of water. That's Lucas Sauvillers 3 years ago. Got the Best Answer Award. And the final Yahoo Answers, sorghum. What is sorghum? I recently bought a rat food that has sorghum listed as an ingredient. It looks a lot like dried corn. Is it dried corn? I haven't been giving it to my rats, just in case. Best Answer by Lake Lady 1 month ago. I got this. I'm from farm country. Yeah. Here in Nebraska, sorghum is called Milo. We don't plant it as much as we used to because soybeans kind of took over, but I still drive past a field now and again. After harvest, small orange-maroon BB-sized seeds. Oh, that's what they're harvesting. The harvest is... The result of harvest is small orange-maroon BB-sized seeds. The leaves are thrown into a silo for ensilage. They have a high sugar content and mixed with other grasses that are fermented in the silo. They make great cattle feed. Also sorghum molasses. Milo is also found in wild bird seed. It's fun to pop like popcorn because it looks like cute miniature popcorn and tastes good. It's fine for your rats or any grain-eating animal. Other answers. JC, 1 month ago. It's not corn, but it's a high sugar grain that is often used to make molasses. It's cheap, and I'm suspecting something so high in sugar would... And I am suspect that something so high in sugar would be healthy for your rats. Eshlin writes, 1 month ago, it's a plant. Ray writes, just Google it. It's a type of grain-producing grass. Yahoo Answers. Letters finally delivers. I would read more by Lake Lady if she's written anything. User's activity is private. Also, it's time to go. Talk to you guys next week.